Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I am going to make a Monty Python reference joke that you'll totally get, right? I'm going to make it right now. I don't even remember it. It just is in one ear, out the other. Something, something, ba-dum-bum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The problem is I've never seen Monty Python. And I know I'm going to get, like, roasted. I'm going to get roasted for that. I tried to watch it, like, one time, and it just wasn't my sort of humor. And I'm so sorry to people like Melissa and my husband, who I know love it.
Yeah. But
it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, British humor. I mean, my question is, after this movie, should British people be making movies?
Oh, my God. What a roast. Oh, my God.
It's just a question that I'm asking.
This movie is truly unhinged. So for those who, like, somehow didn't see the title before they clicked on this podcast, we watched Sliding Doors, the 1998 Gwyneth Paltrow movie. Is it classified as a rom-com? What even is this?
I think
considered?
So. I think it's a rom-com.
It didn't really feel rom-com-y to me. It felt like very dreary. It's like very sad.
It's a rom-com that is, British.
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy drama is what it's listed as. But, and like, Sarah, remind me and the listeners why we watched this movie, how this came up originally on the podcast.
So, like, Sliding Doors as a think piece, I reference a lot, especially in our podcasting. And it's because, like, of the concept of, like, if one thing in your life changed, like missing a train, a subway car, like, does your entire being change and exist? And it's kind of like the butterfly effect, mm-hmm. or something
that would
like
be
that.
My reference point would be the butterfly effect for sure.
And I find the concept extremely interesting, because it's like, you know, like, a lot of us think about this, like, you know, two paths. If you take one path, does your life succeed if you take the other path, right. does it not? So like, as a concept, I think that this is so interesting. And the funny thing is like, I referenced it a lot, but I'm pretty confident I've never seen this movie before now. However, I'm very familiar with like the cover because I remember like trolling around at my Blockbuster or like my local video store and always coming across this and just being like intrigued by it. Like it's the cover itself is like this bright mustard yellow with white and black. It's very visually interesting. And of course, just like the overall concept. But I don't think like, even if I did see this, I don't think like a young Sarah would like take this and, you know, be obsessed with it, kind of like a Clueless, you know what I mean? Because of just like how the tone feels. But I think like this is a case of maybe the concept is more interesting than the execution.
Yeah, I hadn't even heard of this film before we watched it. I knew what you said, which was like a Butterfly Effect sort of vibe, and that was all I knew about this. So I was really not knowing what to expect watching it. And basically, for those who didn't watch the movie or have never even heard of this movie, Gwyneth Paltrow stars as a woman named Helen, and she has like, there's a moment when she's trying to catch the tube, as they call it in Britain, and the doors close in her face. And then we like rewind a little bit and then she makes it on the train. So it's basically like two different versions of what her life would look like with, if she makes the tube or if she doesn't make the tube. Yeah. And yeah, this was interesting because I didn't know it was like a British thing. I also didn't know Gwyneth Paltrow was going to be putting on a British accent. And so obviously I had to consult our British correspondent, Stuart.
Oh, how the accent was?
Yes. Because I was like, is this good or not? You know? So I said, have you seen Sliding Doors? And he said, haircut fixes everything. That's what he said. So I was like, okay, so you obviously have. And I said, I'm watching for the first time. I need your opinions on Gwyneth Paltrow's accent. He said, sometimes it's a bit iffy, but you wanker, you sad wanker is really decent.
Yeah, she said that. I thought the accent was pretty good. Like, obviously, I know Gwyneth Paltrow. I know that the accent was put on, but it wasn't alarmingly bad.
No. I mean, I trust Stuart's opinion that if he said it was like pretty decent, then like to me, that's like a pretty good British accent because obviously he would know. And of course, I also took the opportunity to ask him about the tubes, like how they compare to something like the New York City subway, because that's really only my comparison point. And he said they're better these days. I don't even think in the 90s they were as bad as New York City, but that's me being a catty bitch. That's what he said. I believe him because New York City subways are disgusting. So,
yeah. Well, you know, so is life. So that's a great synopsis of what it is. I think that my overall opinion of this movie was that I felt like, even though we get a haircut and it's supposed to differentiate who's who, I was still so confused 100% of the time.
Really? Interesting. Because I found that the haircut was the turning point for me. That from that point forward, I realized this is this like timeline, this is that timeline.
I just had like such a hard time remembering like this happened to this Gwyneth Paltrow.
I think all you needed to remember was you only ever get a drastic haircut when you're going through a breakup. So that's obviously the one where she breaks up with Jerry or whatever.
What I'm saying is I think she might have needed a funny hat for me to remember one was which.
What type of hat are you thinking? Are we thinking like what's the ones that are like different colors and then there's a little spinny thing on the top, like a little propeller on the top, like one of those?
I wasn't envisioning that, but that could help. Like I needed one of them to just be totally different. Like a haircut was not enough. And now Gwyneth Paltrow's like blonde short haircut was her actual hair and the brown hair was a wig.
That makes sense. Can I ask what you preferred? Like, did you like either haircut, neither, both, you know?
Oh my gosh. It was also so bad. Like, I mean, I would want my life to be reversed also if I got that short blonde haircut. But
I didn't think it was a very good look. Like, I feel like I'm not lying. I'm not saying that, like, I think Gwyneth Paltrow can pull off a pixie haircut. I just think it was the way this one was styled. Like, it was, like, almost too long to be a cute pixie cut, you know? Like, I wanted her to go more Tinkerbell with it, I think.
Ugh. I did like her normie hair better.
But it was very mousy brown. That was my problem with it, is that it was, like, very... bleh brown. Like, you, she needed more richness in the brown color, I think.
That's true. Yeah. So I liked Helen. Like, I liked Helen. I thought that she had, like, an interesting snark to her. Obviously, we see her in the beginning lose her job, and she was calling out those bros. Although, she did steal, like, 6 bottles of vodka. So she kind of was in the wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think we're supposed to. It's like, to me, it very much felt like a, this is a boys club and, like, you're not allowed. And that's really why she got fired. But she really goes through it. And not even
that was
just
the worst day of her life. Horrible. Yes.
So I'm saying, it's not even in just one timeline she's going through it. She has a shitty time in both of them. Like, in the one timeline, so the one where she misses the train, she has to, like, get a taxi or something. And that's when she gets mugged. So then she has to go to the, is that right? Yes.
I don't even know. Okay, so the one where she misses the train is the one where she gets mugged. But she doesn't catch him cheating.
Correct, because she gets mugged and has to go to the hospital. And so when she comes home, he hasn't, he's the woman he's cheating with is no longer there. And it's, like, a really shitty timeline, because not only has she lost her job, so now she gets 2 part-time jobs to pay the bills, and her shitty-ass boyfriend, Jerry, is cheating on her repeatedly, constantly, with this woman, Lydia, and she's getting, like, more and more suspicious, but never really
confirms anything. That's the one where she was, like, she, like, noticed the 2 whiskey glasses in her boyfriend, Jerry, played by John Lynch, like, gaslit her. Over and over. He was this horrible.
And he was so bad, Sarah.
He,
like,
was so bad.
Cancel him all day, every day, because his storyline is basically him bitching to his, like, bar buddy, like, woe is me. I have 2 women. Whatever should I do?
No, he was literally, I've never seen a more slimy man in a show/movie ever before. He is the absolute worst. Like, doesn't have a job, is cheating on her. Gaslights her 1,000% of the time. Like, horrible, 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 horrible. And she doesn't even, Helen doesn't even know James really in the storyline. Like, she, like, meets him in the subway, but she doesn't really, like, meet him or interact with him. Like, I think they're in the same circles at times.
The one where she doesn't discover Jerry is cheating, she only meets James in the elevator with the earring, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he,
but,
like,
then it happens again. Doesn't it happen again or no?
So that, yes, that happens, because she lives in the one where she stays with Jerry. Then they meet when she gets out of the hospital. And that's, like, to me,
they,
like,
don't meet until all the way then.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
I think you're right. But I think that they, like, I think that James was still at, like, the party. There was, like, this, like, party. I think that he was, he was still on the boat. Like, he was circling.
He's, like, they're hovering. Yeah, they're hovering in each other's, like, circles.
But they don't, I mean, they don't, but they don't meet until, you're right, the end. And it has to do with the earring, because in the timeline, the other timeline, does she drop her earring? She drops her earring twice.
She drops her earring in both timelines, because they don't diverge until the subway, which is after, because the elevator is in her building. So that's where, like, they originally meet.
A genius to figure out this fucking
show. So let me break it down. Okay, so Helen gets fired from her job in both timelines. Helen gets in the elevator, loses her earring. James picks it up in both timelines. It's not until she gets to the subway, that or the tube, that the train doors close. And she either gets on the train or she misses the train. And if she gets on the train, she meets James, because she sits next to him and they have this whole really lovely conversation. Yes. And that's when in that timeline is when she discovers Jerry cheating, because she's able to get home quicker to catch him in the act. So because Yeah,
let's talk about that timeline. This is obviously her better timeline, because not only did all that shit happen, the mousy brown hair timeline is also the timeline where she gets hit by a car, right? No, she falls down.
No, she gets hit by a
The one that she gets hit by the car or falls down the stairs.
No, it's the one where she gets hit by the car, because the reason this is the point in the movie. So we're watching this movie. I'm watching this with my husband, Will. We're watching this movie. And I'm like, this movie's a little strange. All right. Okay. Great. Fine. And then she finally gets together with James, because, again, this isn't even a lovely storyline, because she finds out James is married and she thinks, oh, my God, he's just like the scum that Jerry was.
That's the blonde hair timeline.
No,
yes.
Because she's dating James in the storyline where she's Mousy Brown.
No, she's dating James in the storyline where her hair is blonde
because she broke up with him.
She broke up with her boy. Yeah.
Yes. So, sorry. Yeah. See, this is how confusing it is. So, and plus also we were supposed to cut her a week ago. And so I watched this movie a week ago.
If only they were wearing a silly hat, then we would know.
Silly hat would really help. But either way, so it really, like, it's a struggle for her, because when she dates James, like, she ends up thinking he's married, and then he's like, no, my mom is sick, and like, we're pretending we're still in love because we don't want to break her heart on her way out, but we're separated, we're gonna get divorced. So they reconcile, they exchange I love yous, they're all hunky-dory. She does the thing, Sarah, that we all know you shouldn't do, which is walk backwards into a street, because that always means you're going to get hit by a car. She gets whacked by a car. And I couldn't believe this, Sarah. I was like, are you kidding me? She finally gets something happy in her life and she gets hit by a freaking car and she dies.
She doesn't die.
Yes, she does, Sarah. She dies because you see them doing surgery on her, and then you see her still in the surgical room, but like has a sheet over her. And James is like sobbing at her side, and she fucking dies.
This is the happy storyline. There's no way that she dies.
She fucking dies. I swear to God, she dies.
I think you're making that up.
I do not. And not even to mention the fact we didn't even get into the pregnancy nonsense that happens in this film. She's pregnant in both storylines, but different fathers in the two different storylines, because she's pregnant with James's baby and she gets hit by a car and she fucking dies.
Wait, okay, you're right. She does die.
I told you, she dies.
There is something that goes on in my brain when I do not want to deal with something. I create a different narrative in my head about what happens.
You love to rewrite stuff that we watch. You're like, I could have done this better.
That's what happened in like Felicity recently. And I swear I watch this stuff. I do. I really, really do. But my brain rewrites the story, because I swear to God, because I was straight up going to come here, Jess, and be like, you know what? This movie's a little comforting, because at the end of the day, in my mind, like, it doesn't matter if you catch the train or not, because at the end, like, everything just like works out like how it's supposed to. Because in my head, both versions of Helen end up with James and they have like their baby and they're happily ever after.
This is why it's so tragic, because in both timelines she loses the baby.
Yes.
And in one timeline, the happy timeline where she gets her hair cut and she's like opens her own PR firm and she's going to live.
And she does that silly dance. Yeah.
She does the silly dance. That's the one she dies in. The one that she lives in is the shitty one where she loses her job. She gets mugged. Her boyfriend, Jerry, is a piece of shit and like is so unfaithful to her for time and time and time again. And eventually she figures it all out. She kind of puts two and two together. She's pregnant with Jerry's baby. Okay. The only person that's possibly worse than Jerry is fucking Lydia. She gives Americans a bad.
Well, yeah, she's like a caricature of like what everybody in the world thinks Americans are like. She's really awful, actually.
She's terrible. She like, not only is she like, Jerry, you have to break up with Helen and be with me, blah, 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 blah. But she like calls Helen to her office because Helen's working at like a sandwich shop as like a delivery person. So she makes Helen come into her office and like then like yells at her about the sandwiches being the wrong order and everything. And then the worst of the worst that she does is Lydia calls Helen to her apartment where Jerry is
and tells them,
yeah, Lydia and Helen are both pregnant with Jerry's baby.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Lydia calls Helen into like to her place under the guise of like, oh, you have a, I have a job interview or an opening or something like that. And she reveals her affair and pregnancy to Helen. And I'm like, what the fuck did Helen do to you, Lydia?
Nothing. Helen, she's living her life. Just existed. I know. And like, they were exes, right? Like Jerry and yes. Lydia were exes.
And I think and they were exes because she went back to America or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. And she's because she's a fucking psychopath.
She is the worst.
She's so bad. And then like they got back together. This girl, Lydia, is in some capacity related to the Gilded Age, which we should have known. This is just my gosh.
Okay.
Sylvia Chamberlain.
Yes. She looks familiar now that you said that. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh. She's truly, truly the devil incarnate. She's awful. And so like after that happens, Helen runs away as one does when they find out that their boyfriend who they're having their baby is cheating on them.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Like that was, she runs away and then she like Natasha's a la
she,
yes, Big but, and Carrie.
Yes. Very, very Sex in the City, except instead of just breaking some teeth, no, she's taken to the hospital. She loses her baby.
From falling down the stairs.
Gone with the Wind, yes. And so she says, like, at that point, she turns to Jerry and she's like, get out. I, like, never want to see you again.
That's great.
Yes, so he leaves. And then when she's leaving the hospital, that's when she bumps into James because he's visiting his mom.
Okay, also... BTW, why? Who in the world decided that the two main guys should both have J names? Well, Jerry is with the G, but JJ.
Yes, but it is. They're too similar. And they're both like two generic white guys. So that's a little bit tricksy as well. Yeah.
I cannot believe blonde Helen died.
Helen died.
I swear to God, I did not catch that.
I will say, like, it was questionable for a minute because when he's with her in the surgical room, in my head, I was like, well, usually this only happens when the person doesn't make it because otherwise they'd be in like a recovery room. And so it took me a minute to try to figure out what was going on. And then he's like sobbing. And I was like, oh no, shit, she's dead. Died
from internal bleeding.
Yeah. Well, she got hit by a fucking car.
This was nuts.
That's what I'm saying. Neither timeline is happy. Like, sure, she like gets with James at the end because they have a cute little moment where like she knows the punchline of the Monty Python joke that he tells in the elevator originally. But like she still loses a baby and goes through all this traumatizing shit.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have her PR firm that she has on her timeline.
Yeah.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Yes. I mean, okay. So, I mean, so many questions. Number one, I want to go back to the blonde hair timeline because Do you think that James was in the wrong for not sharing that he was married to Helen?
Yes.
I agree.
I think all of this can be cleared up so easily. When you first start seeing each other, you say, hey, I just need to tell you I'm currently in the middle of a divorce. We're separated, but it's not finalized yet. And that's it.
Why would he not do that?
Maybe he thought it was like, I'm going to assume he like didn't know how to say it. And then enough time had passed where it was like too awkward to say it. And he thought that he was going to be able to like go through all of those motions of like his mom dying and all of that stuff before he needed to say anything. I'm trying to remember, does his mom die in the film? I don't think so.
I just think that she was starting to do better, if I'm remembering correctly. At least in
one
of the timelines.
No, he was moving her into like hospice, I thought, which is why he's in the hospital.
I thought that she was getting moved to rehabilitation.
Oh, so then I don't know. But either way, it's like, yeah, it's the thing is we just need to cancel all the men in the film.
Well, that's what it is. Like, literally every single man in this movie is absolute trash.
The only other nice person besides Helen is her best friend, Anna, yeah, who she like moves in with. And like, Anna is so nice. She's like, you should get a new hairstyle. Like, you should do this. Like, go out with jeans. Like, she's very
supportive.
That might
have been a sabotage, that
hair. The hair is really bad. Like, for those who don't remember, you have to just look up Gwyneth Paltrow. Because like you said, that's her hair. Like, that's that one hair. Is not a wig.
No, it is not a wig. Okay, so I agree. I do think that James was totally in the wrong. I don't really understand. And I think that she has a right to be upset with him in these moments, especially since they've been dating for a few months, especially because obviously she has trust issues because of Jerry. So like, James was like psychotically in the wrong in this moment. And I think that like, she probably would have forgiven him, but then could she have trusted him throughout the continuation of the relationship? I don't know if she'd survived, but she did not.
She died, so it doesn't matter, I suppose.
She's a little bit of a deado.
Yeah. I don't know. This whole thing is so wild because the whole time I was watching it, of course, I'm thinking like, well, which timeline is the real timeline?
Yeah, because that wasn't clear either, because I would have thought that we would have done some sort of like reverse, like rewind, yes, and seeing if she actually got on,
yes,
the train or not at the end of confirmation. I think that a lot of people like to believe that brown haired timeline is the better timeline, or
because she lives.
Okay, so let's see, like, pros and cons. Mm-hmm. Brown haired timeline gets cheated on for like an additional year.
It's big con.
Has,
yeah,
really shitty jobs. Gets abused by Lydia.
Loses baby, but that happens in both.
Loses baby, but
although you could look at that as a positive if she doesn't want to have Jerry's baby.
That's true. She's pretty confident it's James's baby. No, she doesn't. Sorry.
No, James. Whoa. In the other timeline. Those are, oh, the blonde timeline.
Stupid. Okay. But she lives. But she spends like this whole time being absolutely miserable. She's like a sad sack.
She doesn't have the ugly haircut, so that's a pro.
But she doesn't have the ugly haircut, and she lives. Like, she's a survivor, and she, right, you would assume that she meets James. They hit it off.
Also,
maybe it's they're more. Okay, let me just finish this.
Yes.
This thought. Maybe he's more removed from the divorce, so he doesn't have the need to like lie about it.
Oh, maybe he's very upfront about it in that.
Exactly.
Timeline.
Yeah, because like, it's been more time that has passed since, yeah, the divorce. So like, maybe they're going to be set up for like a better relationship. Mm-hmm. One can only hope. And like, she's grown because like, she's now like, you know, doesn't put up with shit from men anymore.
And it could be that he inspires her to open a PR firm anyway. Like, it just hasn't, mm-hmm, happened yet, you know?
Yes, yes. So, like, that's like, the thing. Now, what were you going to say?
Oh, yes, the other thing I was thinking is, there's a possibility that, okay, because in the blonde hair timeline, she moves in with her friend. So, like, theoretically, Jerry gets to keep the apartment. It's a possibility, mm-hmm, that she tells Jerry to leave and maybe she gets to keep the apartment. That's a possible pro that she gets to keep that place.
That's true.
And in London, it's expensive to get new housing. So
maybe the current apartment is rent controlled if there's something like that in London. Now, but in the blonde hair timeline, this is what happens. She finds out right away. She breaks up with him right, mm-hmm, away. Pro. She is not like, that's a huge pro. Then she starts like this really good friendship with James, and, mm-hmm, she has like a good old time. It develops into something more. She starts her PR firm. She's like really successful. She's happy. We see her smiling a lot. She feels confident about the haircut. She, mm-hmm, keeps her friendship with Anne. Then she gets the satisfaction of Jerry coming back like all men fucking do, and is like, I am nothing without you. I need you. I can't even write my story without you.
What a schlub.
I know, he's pathetic. So she gets that satisfaction. I forget, like, does she have an interaction with Lydia in the blonde haired timeline?
I don't think so, because I don't think she even has a need to.
She's present. Well,
she sees Lydia, right? Mm-hmm. In the, because she literally sees them having sex.
Yes, right. So true. And then she, oh, but she does like do that thing where she reverse calls when Jerry's over trying to be like a schlub and like finds out.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, that timeline is pretty good. And then on top of that, she does get pregnant. She thinks it's Jerry's.
James's.
I'm so sorry. You know what it was? I was even picturing James, but I said Jerry because it's the same fucking name. and then after that, okay, so it's all gravy. It's all good, except for the fight with James and then like the fact that she died. So then would you would you rather have like a year of happiness and then die, or would you have a year of misery but you survive?
I think the second one
number two. You'd rather have a year of misery but survive.
Like, I was miserable for like 9 months. Like, I think that I could survive a year of misery.
Okay, so we're saying that mousy haired Helen has it better.
I think mousy haired Helen ends up with the better timeline, but like, to be frank, both of them suck. Like, both of them are trash because she fucking dies in one, and in the other one she almost dies and is stuck with Jerry for a year. Like, the fact that she didn't discover he was cheating earlier is very upsetting. She trusted him way too much.
No, she was doing her investigative work. She had the woman's intuition. She was asking the questions. I think that she didn't have, without having it like blatantly in front of her, I think that she was in denial island. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she asked the questions. She was doing some detective work. I thought when there was like this instance where Jerry was bringing Lydia to some sort of like event somewhere or like a weekend away.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that Helen was going to be like, because she was like, oh, I have to work, I can't come. I thought she was going to get off and then she was going to go and surprise him. And that's how she was going to find out. But that didn't happen.
Yeah. I thought that as well. Every time I thought she was going to catch him or like confront him, she didn't. It just like kept going on. And I'm not blaming her.
Eventually, like, find out in that timeline. I kind of forgot.
I think she confronts him with the glasses. She's like my friend. Yeah, she said, my friend doesn't drink whiskey. You said it was from her time, and why was it in the hamper and all this stuff? And then she finds, I mean, it doesn't get confirmed for her until Lydia calls her over. And then
how can I forget that's how
Lydia's unhinged. Like, in what world are you the victim, Lydia? Like, seriously. Wait, does this make you think, like, if you truly are like, Jerry will never leave Helen, so I need to get Helen to break up with Jerry, like, is that a person you want to be with? Like, you want to be someone's like sloppy seconds?
Well, technically, Helen is the sloppy seconds. She's just like,
but you want to be someone's like side piece? Like, it doesn't, it just like, I live by the Rachel Green rule, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
I think that if Jerry does this to Helen, what's to stop him from doing it to Lydia with like some other woman, you know?
Absolutely. Like, he is he's horrible. Like, there is no redeeming factor to Jerry at all.
The only redeeming factor to Jerry's storyline is when he goes to the bar to like tell whoever this guy is about all his woes. The guy laughs in his face at certain points, and I found that pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you deserve to have someone laugh in your face. But that's literally the only redeeming thing. And that's why I was like, I don't really, I could see how this is like a drama. I didn't think it was super funny.
And it was fun. Like, James was supposed to be the comedic relief, but it was very British humor.
Also, did you recognize James?
Yes, he was the brother in The Mummy.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't recognize him. It took Will pointing him out for me to be like, oh, yeah.
Face blindness.
I just blocked him from
my memory. You're like, you didn't even like that character.
I didn't, which is probably why I blocked it from my memory.
I mean, I still think that he's funny. Okay, so this is what I also wanted to bring up. Mm-hmm. Helen is a confirmed Gemini.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Do you think that has anything to do with like the timelines and everything?
Well, yeah, I think it's supposed to be like twins, like parallels, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Whatchamacallit? Jerry is an Aries.
Ugh, of course.
Any opinions on this?
I mean, both he has very chaotic.
Oh no, yeah. Sorry.
No, Aries sorry. Is fire. Now you don't even know astrology. Who are you? Have you been replaced with an imposter?
No, I was thinking air, ease.
Oh, okay. Air.
It's kind of like how Aquarius means water, but
it feels
it's not a water sign.
It feels like it should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that Jerry does operate a bit like with chaotic energy. Like everything he does feels frantic.
He is very frantic. You're right.
And so that fits. I think Helen, I mean, like, I think they did the Gemini thing to be cute. Like you said, like the two different, like, oh, she has two different hairstyles and the two different storylines. Like all that makes sense. Do we know what James's sign is or no?
I don't think so. I don't think that we know. Mm. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I mean, he seems like he's, I don't know, probably an Aquarius. He like kind of marches to the beat of his own drum.
I could see that.
He's a silly guy.
Think he is silly, but I think he also like he feels very grounded in terms of like caring for his mom. Like it wouldn't be surprising to find out that he is like some sort of like earth sign in that way.
Yeah, maybe like a Taurus.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also, can I just say, I didn't realize this movie was referenced so often. I'm looking at like the wiki on this movie.
Yeah.
It was referenced in Frasier, in the show Broad City, in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, in Doctor Who, Malcolm in the Middle, and Community.
Oh, wow. Which it's really in everything.
Yeah. And so I guess they don't outright reference it in Doctor Who, Malcolm in the Middle, and Community, but they like do a premise very similar to it. Which, like, Butterfly Effect, I guess, is kind of, like, a similar, you know, it's, like, a very common
trope. So, have you seen Butterfly Effect?
Yes. And I remember, when I was a lot younger, really liking that movie. But, I like, as I'm older, it doesn't hold up as well. Mainly in that there's one thing that happens in it that really makes no sense.
Do tell.
It contradicts the story. I'm pretty sure there's like a storyline where he gets these scars and then the thing shifts and he still has the scars, even though because he like the butterfly effect is in place, he shouldn't have had them. So like it's a huge faux pas in terms of the actual storyline and like the whole conceit of the idea. So yeah, I remember liking it at the time and I was like a big Ashton Kutcher fan at the time. But I don't think that I would like it as much now.
I read a book by my favorite author, Taylor Jenkins Reid, same author that wrote Daisy Jones and the Six. And she wrote a book called Maybe in Another Life. And that was the same thing, like alternating timelines of one person's life. And I felt like that was a pretty interesting read. Not my favorite, but I think it also has to do with like one person gets like the main protagonist gets like hit by a car while she was like biking or something.
No kidding,
it's always something to do with like somebody's always getting hit by some sort of vehicle.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like I feel like the multiverse is like a very common thing nowadays, especially because like Marvel did it, you know what I mean? Like the multiverse is just like, oh, what about me in a different universe? Like what would that look like?
Yeah,
but I like the premise. it was more of just like, gosh, this is so dreary when like all these bad things are happening to her. And then I got to the end and like I had already been messaging our British correspondent Stuart. So I messaged him and I said, is she about to die? So I said, is she about to die in both timelines? Will and I just laughed hysterically at her getting hit by a car twice. And I said, oh, well, only once. Sorry. She fell down the stairs. I said, I'm supposed to be sad, but it's too funny.
You're laughing. You are crazy.
Because it was so ridiculous. And then I'm pretty sure that this is a quote from my husband. This movie was actually good and the ending is terrible. She lives in this one. She lives in the shit timeline.
I know. I think, okay, once again, I think in the ending that I have concocted by myself in my own head, I think that the movie would have been better if it was like a feel-good movie where they survive in both timelines. She ends up with James in both timelines. And like, I think that the message should be like, don't dwell on your past decisions. Don't dwell on what could have been, because you're going to end up exactly where you should be. Like, I thought that that was the reason why like Lydia got pregnant in both timelines as well, because it's like in both timelines, like Jerry's still going to have a baby with Lydia. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what decisions you make, because you're going to end up where you ultimately like should be and need to be.
It's very fate driven.
And that like feels very like comforting to somebody, to me at least, to be like, I don't have to question every single decision I make, because ultimately I'm going to end up where I'm destined to end up. And I think that this has to do with like a little bit of like, you're right, like fate versus destiny versus yes. like human, like people making decisions based on like their own actions and them affecting their lives. And I'm like a huge believer in that. Like, I of course think that like we drive our own decisions, but there's of course also something very like comforting about what I call like the invisible string. Like, we are tethered to like who we're meant to be with, what we're meant to do. And like, we just like are, ultimately we get to the point where we're destined to be, and we're destined to be who we're with. And then the satisfaction is being where we are today and saying, oh, that horrible thing happened, because if that horrible thing happened, then I wouldn't have done this, and then I wouldn't have done that, and then I wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? Like, do you want me to get yes. more specific if I'm...
No. Like, I know what you mean. I just don't know that I necessarily follow that same belief.
Yeah,
like, I know,
I'm curious, that's like a big like, thing. Philosophically, I think, like, what do you believe in? Because I
think I'm a little more cynical.
Really? Because, like, I really do, like, that's kind of how I get through my day-to-day. Yeah. And, like, that's how, especially because I'm not that much of, like, a religious person. I am, like, a spiritual person more so. And, like, I kind of need to know, like, everything happens for a reason for yeah. me to like get through the shitty shit.
And I can understand, like, that's okay. So that's where I land in terms of like, I understand people like believing in that or like using that as a way to explain things, because if you don't believe in that, it's like, oh my God, then like, what is all of this for? Like, why is all of this happening? Right. Like, especially if you've been through some like traumatizing shitty shit, it feels like, well, I went through that so that I could be better prepared for the future or something like that. It makes sense for a lot of people to think that. I think I'm a little more cynical in that, like, sometimes bad shit just happens and like, it's not for any specific reason. And I, you know me, I'm not a religious person either. And I think that that's another reason why I really struggle with religion. And this isn't like a Christianity specific thing. That's the main thing I know of, because that's what I grew up around. But like, just religion in general, because I have a hard time believing that like, if there is this some sort of like person or power or whatever out there, why are all these like really shitty things happening to like good people and like children and like innocent people in this world, like animals, you know what I mean? Like, I have a tough time believing all of that because of the shitty things that happen. And like, I've definitely gotten more cynical over the years as I've become more of an adult and gone through some like shittier stuff. I think I have a harder time believing in those things as a result. And I more follow along the lines of like, it didn't happen for any particular reason. It did happen. And it's how you learn from it and move forward, that determines like what the trajectory of the rest of your life looks mm-hmm. like. And this is like very similar. We've talked before about like the whole soulmate thing. Like, I'm really not a believer in soulmates. I think there's like a time and a place, and timing is like 80% of a relationship, yeah. you know, like
that's
a big factor in relationships. I think there's plenty of people that you could be happy with and love and live with. I'm not saying there's like hundreds of thousands, but I think there's like a select group of people that like, you could live with and be happy with for the rest of your human life, which isn't that long in comparison to like the grand scheme of things. But I think like timing and opportunity and work goes into relationships, that I think pinning it all on like a fatalistic sort of idealism, in my opinion, like takes a little bit away from the amount of work that like you have to give yourself the credit, right? Of like, relationships are hard work. How you handle difficult situations, that's on you. Like, and I think putting it as like a, oh, it was always just going to happen. Like, I feel like it takes away a lot of agency, which is why I don't really like that. Cause yeah, I like to think that I have control. But I understand. I certainly understand wanting to think this has to have happened for a reason, because if not, then why me and why the situation, you know?
Yeah.
I ask myself that a lot over the past year of like, why is this happening? Like, what, like, why is it like, basically like for me, like for those who don't know, like we lost our dog a few months ago to cancer. It was like a 9-month long thing. And for me, like a lot of that time was spent like, this is the worst situation. It was my worst fear realized, truly. Like, I have deep, deep anxieties surrounding pet health, and I had a golden retriever, and cancer is very common in them. And so like, it was my worst fear coming true. And so I spent a lot of time thinking, why is this happening? Like, what did we do? Could we have done anything else? Like, what did we do to deserve this?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really have an answer beyond now we learned from like having Winston for those like 9 years, and the next dog we have, like I can just put so much love into and care, and like that's it. And I got that love, you know, I got that 9 years of wonderful time spent.
Yeah.
So I just like have a, I don't know, all that was a lot, but it's like that's where I come from in terms of like faith.
Yeah.
It's like it's difficult for me to buy into. I don't like look down on anyone who believes in that way, because I think everyone has their own, like, for lack of a better way to say it, like coping mechanism for like dealing with the shit life throws at you, and shit is going to get thrown at you no matter who you are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that I do agree with a lot of what you're saying, especially because like, I do find it like very hard to process like some of the things that I've gone through in my life. But I also have like a very big appreciation of like following the path and like realizing like where I've ended up. And I think I can do both. I do think that things just happen, but I very much like buy into like these things happen to like make ourselves evolve as people. But I feel like I still think that going back to Sliding Doors, I think that my ending is better.
I do too. I definitely agree that your ending is better. I think like the worst part of the whole thing was like, oh my gosh, she's gonna fuck. I thought she was gonna die in both timelines. And I was like, well, what the fuck did I just spend the last hour and a half on? Like, it felt like it all started unraveling and becoming so unhinged in like the last like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That I was like, what the fuck did I just watch? You know, like it's interesting. And I see why it's a reference point for a lot of people, because it's, and maybe this was like the first time it was done. I don't know. Like, I don't know if this is the first of its kind in terms of like the
alternate, you know, reality.
Yeah. I mean, probably not, but like maybe it's the first like rom-com that sort of did that. I don't know. It was interesting. It's certainly not a movie that I could like see myself like watching for funsies like a bunch of times, you know, because it's like, it's really dreary and sad. But it was an interesting watch for sure. And I got a real good hate into Jerry. Oh my God.
I mean, there's like some very good, very, very, very good characters to hate and hate yeah. to hate to hate, not even hate to love. There's nothing to love about them.
No, they're no. Really I love when terrible. She calls him a wanker. That was fun.
I mean, he's a wanker. Lydia's a wanker. Everyone's a wanker. James is kind of a wanker. Like, yeah. And I, you know, like typically, like I feel like you and I would be like, oh, like Helen's pathetic. She's not pathetic. She's just like a sad sack.
She's trying her best. I think the thing is to
live her life.
If I had as many things go wrong for me as Helen did, I would probably just give up. Like, truly, like, yes. Losing your job and then getting mugged. No, losing your job, missing the train, and getting mugged all in the same day. Truly just let me cocoon for, like, a month after that yeah, day. Yeah,
I would not be and then in, like, reality, like, you're getting cheated on like, another and in real life. Yeah, like, I would just give up yeah. on life as well. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I really don't need to live yeah. in this existence.
Yeah, after like one bad thing happens to me today, I'm like, I deserve a treat. I can't with this day anymore.
Yeah, Helen deserves like 30 treats.
She does. She really does. She deserves
to go to Nando's, get the mashed potatoes and chicken, and just call it a day.
Yeah, and hang out with Anna, because Anna's great.
Anna's a good friend, yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was really lovely. Like, I think, yeah. I mean... I don't know a ton of, I mean, like, I feel like it's a rare friend to be like, oh my God, you just like caught your boyfriend cheating on you. Please move in with me. Like, we'll fix things. Like, that's a really, really kind friend, especially because Helen just lost yeah. her job too. So it's not like she has like income coming in either.
Yeah, no, she's a poor. She's got nothing in this she's world. She's a poor. Yeah. Anna is in some movies, nothing that notable.
No, I didn't recognize her at all.
Yeah, she's she just pops in here and there, it seems.
Yeah, but this movie was fun to cover. Like, I'm happy I watched it because now I have it as like a touch point in terms of like my
point.
Like my movie knowledge. But yeah, and I mean, on the bright side, Gwyneth Paltrow had a decent British accent. It wasn't like we were watching Mary Poppins with what's his face that like really, really, oh, really.
Yes, Dick Van Dyke.
Van Dyke with his really, truly awful British accent.
Do you have any opinions on Gwyneth Paltrow and her Goop?
I'm not the most informed on Goop, but it all seems really stupid to me. So.
Yeah, she's a little
she's off
wooey at times, but
she forgot that she made the movie Shallow Hal. Do you remember that movie? Well,
I mean, we should all forget that Shallow Hal was made, to be honest. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really that might have been, that's like kind of like me trying to forget like all the shit that the shitty ending to this movie. It's like,
you're like, let me just rewrite this real quick.
Yeah, in my head, I just totally made it different. You've never seen The Royal Tenenbaums, right? That is my favorite.
I have seen that one.
Oh, you didn't like it?
Who's the writer again?
You are thinking about Wes Anderson.
Yes. Is that not him?
Wes Anderson movie. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Wes Anderson. Like, I understand it's a thing and like people love him and like, more power to you. Mm-hmm. I just don't ever, I feel like I'm too stupid to ever understand the movies that he makes. Mm-hmm. Like, none of them ever made sense. We saw the most recent one in theaters and I was lost the
whole time. Asteroid City.
Yes, we saw them in theaters and I was like, the fuck am I watching?
I mean, I watched Asteroid City too and I didn't really know what I was watching. It was an adventure.
Yeah. I'd say The Royal Tenenbaums is probably the one that I liked. Oh, wait, I've only ever seen the two of them. I'm looking at his list right now. I've seen The Royal Tenenbaums and I've seen Asteroid City. I've heard of Fantastic Mr. Fox. I've never seen it.
Yeah, but it's creepy because of that fox guy is like really creepy.
I don't like the look of it.
No, I don't trust him, honestly.
I don't think I've seen any other ones. No.
Oh, I'm a big fan of The Royal Tenenbaums. That's like one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. What else? Has she been in? She won for Shakespeare in Love. Maybe she won for Emma. I always get them confused.
I haven't seen it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of movies I just like haven't I don't know. I feel like I only have ever seen Gwyneth Paltrow in like rom-coms that she's been in besides Iron Man. Obviously, I've seen all the Iron Man movies. So and Avengers and all, you know, all those ones I've seen. But beyond that, I feel like anything I've ever seen her in is like a rom-com or like, I've seen Clerks. I've seen Austin Powers.
Wait,
like she's in Austin
Powers. Country Strong. Have you ever seen Country Strong? Have I ever made you watch Country Strong?
I don't even think I've heard
of Country Strong. Me and my friends are kind of obsessed with Country Strong. Essentially, Gwyneth Paltrow plays, it's kind of like the movie.
Blair's in it.
Yes, Blair's in it. So it's kind of, God, there is Hayden Panettiere was in Nashville. That's what it's kind of like Nashville.
Oh, I remember the show Nashville. I watched that. Yeah.
So yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow plays like this like old-timey or old school country song star. And then Blair from Gossip Girl, aka Leighton Meester, plays like the new up-and-coming country star. And and like basically Gwyneth Paltrow just spends the entire movie being a bitch to Leighton Meester. And but they sing. They all sing the whole time. And there's some like really good like music in this movie.
I would have to assume there would be, considering they have Tim McGraw as like one of the other leads.
There's a lot of like covers of like actual country songs.
Yeah.
But I'm like kind of obsessed with, I listened to the Country Strong album just like unironically, enjoyingly. oh my God, there's like this the song that Leighton sings. She's like, I'm just a summer girl inside my summer world, or something like that. I don't know. It's so good. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's so good. I'm a summer girl. Yeah. And then she sings this other song like, I'm not trying, we can work it out. It's so good. I just love Country Strong Summer so much. You should watch Country Strong.
I mean, unfortunately, it wasn't me in the 90s. I just can't consume that sort of media.
I will not be watching.
But I did have an idea. This whole podcast sparked an idea for me.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that you love to like rewrite the endings to movies.
Yeah.
How would you feel if like, because sometimes we end up, it's like, well, what should we do this? What should we do this month? Like, what should be our thing this month? What should be our theme? Whatever, whatever. What if one month, what we did was, like I watched maybe I don't know if we pick a movie that neither of us have seen or pick a movie one of us has seen, but the one person can't have seen it is the thing.
Yes.
And the other person has to explain the movie to the other person. And it could be like, so let's pretend it's my time. Maybe like we do two in 1 month. That's the theme. And so it's my turn to watch the movie. So I have to either have seen it or not seen it, but you can't have seen it so that you don't know.
Yes.
What do you think of this idea?
1000%. I love it. Now,
I think it's so fun because I feel like the retelling will be incredible, especially because another reason that this kind of thought popped into my head was last year, actually about a month away from where we are right now, a year ago, you came up to my parents' camp with me and I was doing some watercolor and you came and I think right was that when it happened? You came downstairs.
Yeah, but it wasn't a year ago. It was last September.
Oh, it wasn't in July. Never mind. You're right. It was September. And you came downstairs and I was doing watercolor and you were telling me all about this book you were reading.
Yeah.
And it was so fucking unhinged. Like it was like truly insane. Yeah. And that like whole idea of like one person telling a story and the other person getting to ask the questions feels really fun.
Yeah.
So maybe we should take some requests for like movies that are unhinged in a way that would be really fun in a retelling.
Yes.
Maybe people can send us
that
suggestions.
Is a amazing idea, Jessica Sterling. That
Thank
is
you.
Such a good idea. Now,
and also that way one of us gets to be lazy, you know what I mean, like each time.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. Now, I mean, that means that we might have to bump Leo season.
No, we have to do Leo season first.
So
August
September
is Leo season. I mean, well, what did we have in July? I don't even remember what July's plan was.
Well, July, we're doing something with our good friend Taylor.
Right.
I think we're doing a Bollywood movie.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so yeah, we'll bump it. We'll either bump Leo month. Well, maybe we should let the listeners decide. What's more interesting? A Leonardo DiCaprio month in the month of August for Leo month, which I know Leos bleed into September, but like a true Leo is in August.
No,
Leo.
They don't.
They bleed into July. Sorry, the other way around. My brain has fried from thinking about sliding doors for the last hour. So either we bump Leo month and we do this plan of like the, I don't know, we need a cute name for it, but like we're telling each other stories from movies, or we do Leo month and September then becomes this idea. Let us know what you think. I'm curious.
Yeah. We are. I mean, Leo DiCaprio's birthday is in November. We can do Leo month then.
Fine. Yeah, let's do this. This is more fun anyway. But now we need suggestions. People have time. Send us in your suggestions for like movies you think would be fun in a retelling. They obviously have to be from the 90s. And then depending on like what you and I have seen. I mean, there's so many movies neither of us have seen that I feel like there's a wonderful pool to pick from. So
Sabrina Carpenter's 25th birthday cake had a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio on it.
That's a weird choice.
Well, it's because Leo DiCaprio doesn't date anybody older than 25. So the cake was a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio. And it said, no, don't turn 25. You're so sexy. Aha. Which might be his real. That might be. I don't know. That I don't know if that's like a bit or what. But
that's gross, but funny.
Yeah. What do you think about Sabrina Carpenter?
I know she has a song I like. I'm gonna look her up right now.
Is it Please, Please, Please? Or
how does it go? She's only 4'11. Good God.
She's tiny. She's a tiny little human. Yes, she's a little, she's very small.
Let's see.
Please, I'm trying to think. Please, please don't prove me right.
Oh, I like Espresso.
Oh, that's a me espresso.
Yeah, I hear it on TikTok all the time.
You gotta listen to Please. I think it's better. Okay,
I will. I might have already heard it. I just don't know names.
With a new album. It's called, I think it's called Short and Sweet.
I mean, that fits. She's only 4'11".
yes. Yeah. All right. I don't know when that album's coming out, but it's coming out soon. I'm looking forward. And also, I want to make a correction. I don't think that Billie Eilish's album all sounds the same, and I actually do like it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, because I really like Billie Eilish.
What do you know about Billie Eilish?
Oh, I don't know anything about her as a person. I just like
Tell me one thing about that you know about Billie Eilish.
She has green hair, and she...
Not currently.
Well, she did. And she works with her brother. Her and her brother write songs together. What's her brother's name? James.
No. No.
That's just her friend Brenna's brother's name. His name is
Phineas.
How was I going to guess that?
It's his fucking name, and he's a really big...
What is he, a cartoon character?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Okay, well, I would never have guessed that.
So you cannot name two things that you know about...
I just like her music. I like her song from Barbie. It really hits me in that emotional place, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really good. Okay. Anyway.
Well.
That was Sliding Doors, everyone. This podcast. This feels like not on the level of American Pie, the podcast that we did, but like in a different way, it's similar.
Yeah. Just like we choose what we talk about.
Yeah. Why not?
I mean, it's our platform.
Yeah.
Oh, one more thing. One more thing. What are your thoughts on Justin Timberlake getting arrested?
Okay, so I did hear about this. And my question is, because it was funny, it sparked a conversation with my husband, because he was the one who told me about it, of like, what's the difference between a DWI and a DUI? Because I asked, well, which one did he get? Because his claim was like, oh, I only had one margarita or something like that.
No, allegedly there's like ecstasy that was found in his system and cocaine.
I mean,
shit.
Take one look at his eyeballs. That man is on drugs. Like,
yeah,
no way. Yeah. He is glassy eyed as fuck.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing, actually. I think that it's just now,
DWI.
Well, doesn't DWI include drugs and alcohol in one?
That's
only
DUI, I think. GWI is driving while intoxicated. That's just drinks, I think. Mm-hmm. And then DUI can be both.
I think it also.
Yes, but it also depends on like what state you're in, I think, because he was on Long Island, which also cracked me up.
Yeah, what was he doing in Long Island, like being cracked out?
I guess he had like a show in New York or something, because he got pulled over and the cop didn't even know who he was.
Wow, he was not a millennial though.
And he said something like, oh, you're going to ruin the show or something like
no,
that.
No, you're going to ruin the tour.
Show? That's right. And he's like, yeah, what tour?
What tour? It's like my world tour.
Yep.
What a dick.
So what? I mean, we've been knew he was a dick, right? So whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. That's all we have to talk about. That was Sliding Doors.
That was Sliding Doors. Maybe we should include like a pop culture moment in our podcasts because I know nothing about pop culture 90% of the time.
I mean, literally, I've been wanting to do that for a while. But
well, we should do it then. At the very least, we could do it in the bonus podcast. Maybe we don't need it on like Buffy and Felicity, but like, you know.
Well, I wanted like a whole sector. Remember
that? A whole podcast, you mean?
Yeah, remember? You know
I
what
do
I'm
remember.
About?
Pepperidge Farm remembers. I remember. Pepperidge Farm remembers. Anyway, yeah, that's everything. So we hope you enjoyed this podcast. Check us out covering Buffy, covering Felicity at Shit 90s Pod. Sarah's over on Whirlwind Podcasts, also podcasting. We're finishing up Pretty Little Liars Summer School this week, baby. So we'll see how that nonsense ends. But yeah, until next time, everyone, have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90s Shows taught me.